This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's really is a great, great privilege for me to be here this morning together with the family. I was trying to figure out the last time I was here. It was probably two and a half years ago. And it is such a massive blessing being back and to be in this place. It's always a challenge sometimes for a pastor to come ministering in a congregation like this, because sometimes after that you have to go back home. You have to repent of all the envy in your heart that you have. I mean, just driving into this town, it's such a beautiful place. You know, like I now understand why Andries would often joke and talk about this as the last pit stop before you get to heaven. And it really does make sense. Hermanas is a beautiful, beautiful place. And then, of course, to be amongst the people of God like this, who have such a passion for God and such a hunger for the Lord's presence, really is amazing. And it's, once again this morning, you know, you feel like, okay, I can actually just go home now. The Lord has said what He wanted to say just in the worship band. Thank you so much, Hendrik and guys. That was incredible. Thank you for being so faithful to pray about those songs and to usher us into God's presence. And thank you to everybody who brought the words, being obedient to God to bring those words. It's amazing. And Andries told me that this morning there might not be many people in church because it's a long weekend. And so I don't know if you have, when you have many people, what it looks like, but this is amazing. If this is what it looks like on a long weekend, it's pretty awesome. And thank you so much, Johnny, and Tani Deleste as well, for your love for us and your prayer and support. And there really is no way that Nick and myself that we would be able to do what the Lord has called us to do without your prayers. And we really covered that, and we're thankful for so many of you that have been praying for us and so many of you that are supporting us and praying for Andries and Lisa as well. You know, as shepherds, we're only as strong as our congregation. And the cover that we have from you as people who cover us in our weaknesses, who cover us in our marriages and as families. And so thank you so much also for the amazing way you are serving in this church. And Shofar Hermanas is a massive blessing to the movement. We're so proud of what the Lord is doing here. And maybe one day when we are about to be promoted, we'll come here as well. This morning, I want to share with you the time that I've got left. Johnny, you normally finish at? Okay. Carry on. There's a song like that. I carry on. So I'll carry on. I want to share with you just a couple of verses that the Lord has laid on my heart. And a lot of that ties in with what has been shared already this morning. Let me just pray for us. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your presence, God, in this house, Lord. Thank you for being with us, Lord. Thank you that that your presence isn't just a theological doctrine, Lord, or isn't just a principle or something that we see in Scripture, but that we can experience it, Lord, that we can experience you with us, amongst us, and that changes everything about us, Lord. Thank you that the beauty of this morning isn't so much in this beautiful building, as amazing as it is. It isn't so much, Lord, in the beautiful mountains that surround this beautiful town, and that is incredible, and that is such a manifestation of your creative genius. But God, the beauty of this morning is that you are amongst us. The beauty of this morning is the God of the universe dwells with men and women of flesh and bone. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that reality, and that changes everything. Thank you, Lord, for invading our space. And I pray, God, this morning that your word will burn brightly inside of our spirits. I pray that this morning we will not just leave having listened to some motivational talk, God, but that your word will change us and transform us, God, so that we can look and sound and act a little bit more like Jesus. Amen. So let me read for us from 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5. And I believe that you guys have come out of a series, and you might still be busy with it, where Andries has been chatting to you about God's blueprint for his church. And what does it mean to be the church, to be the ecclesia, to be the called out, to be those who have been called to live differently to the world, those who have been called to live holy lives, to live separately, yet at the same time to be in the world and to be amongst people. And I want to share this verse with you that has been living in my heart and resonating inside of my spirit. And I've been sharing this with some of our churches, and I just want to drop it here with you as well. And I'm going to share quite a few points with you, and I'm trusting God that there will be one point that will impact your heart. And maybe you won't remember everything I share this morning, but that there will be something that you know God has spoken to you about. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 5, it says, coming to him, the previous verses speaks about the well-known portion where Peter encourages the believers to desire the pure milk of God's word, to desire it, to hunger after it, to thirst after it, like a little baby longs for breast milk, because it knows that it needs that milk to survive. And so he says, desire God's word like that. And then he continues and he says, coming to him, coming to Jesus as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so Peter says to his friends, brothers and sisters, when you come together, when you come together to a church service, or you come together as a small group, or as Bible school, or as a home group, or meeting in your business to pray or to have fellowship, or when you enter into God's presence, you don't come together because Heinrich is the leader of Shofar, or you don't come together because Andres is the pastor of this church, or you don't come together because Cyril Ramaphosa is the president of the nation. All of those external things mean absolutely nothing. It's not powerful enough to draw you. None of the external things are powerful enough to keep you. Your walk with Christ, your relationship with Him, isn't or should not be dependent upon anybody else except Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. You are coming to Him. You're not coming to four songs and then a sermon. You're not coming to a Bible study group. You're not coming to all of those wonderful things. You are coming to Jesus Christ. Just coming to Him as to a living stone. And he compares Jesus to a living stone who was rejected indeed by men. He says, but chosen by God and precious, you also. So look what he says. He says, you come to Jesus, and remember Jesus. Remember that Jesus is this living stone, this cornerstone. And we sing that song, the most important stone in the entire building that keeps the building together. If you take that stone away, everything collapses. And so I can be replaced a couple of years later. I will be replaced, and somebody else will function in the servant leader capacity to which God has called me. Andres and Lisa, as amazing as they are, might be called somewhere else, might be raptured one day. But there will come a time when somebody who's now the leader will not be the leader anymore. There will come a time when the things that we think are eternal, the things that we think are solid and permanent in our lives, all of those things will fade away. They will pass away. By the way, that wasn't a hint. I'm not preparing you that Andres and Lisa are leaving. All right, don't read into that what I didn't say. All I'm saying is that anything that is more permanent to us than the living reality of Jesus Christ is an idol. All of those things will fade away. All of those things will be shaken. All of those things will be taken away. Only Jesus Christ is worth our undivided devotion. Only Jesus Christ is worth basing our lives upon. Not the latest book, not the latest DVD, not the latest podcast, not the latest sermon. Jesus is the living stone, solid, unchanging, always faithful, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The Alpha and the Omega, our beginning and our end, the way, the truth, and the life, the living bread, the sweet rose of Sharon, the Ancient of Days. He alone is worthy of us basing our hope upon Him. Vilyalam spoke about perspective, and he spoke about how important it is to have an eternal perspective. You can only have an eternal perspective if your eyes are fixed on Jesus. That beautiful Shofar song that says, fix our eyes on Him. We fix our eyes on Jesus, and we've come out of a season where, as a church family, where we've been shaken, and a lot of things that we thought were going to remain were shaken and were removed. But you know what remained? Jesus. He's the one building His church. No man can do Jesus' job. Jesus is building his church. And so he reminds his friends and he says, come to Jesus, guys. Don't come to me, come to Jesus. And remember this, that this stone was rejected by men. That when Jesus walked the face of the earth, many people were excited about him, but many more people were not that excited about him while he was here. That he was accepted by the hungry and by the thirsty and by the sinners and the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He was accepted by them, but he was rejected by the religious. And he encourages his friends and he says, if Jesus was rejected by many, you also expect rejection. Expect that things won't always work out for you. Expect that there will be opposition. But remember this, that even though you might be rejected by family, you might be rejected by your colleagues, even though your friends might think that you are fallen on your head, even though you might be going against some traditions that you have been used to, remember this, that you are chosen and precious. It says you also, and it's one of the most beautiful principles in Scripture, that we base our estimation of ourselves, of who we are, not by comparing ourselves to somebody else, but by comparing ourselves to Jesus. I base my self-esteem not upon how big my church is or how amazing my budget is or on how many miracles I've done. I base my self-esteem upon Jesus because I'm being transformed and I'm being changed into Jesus, into the image of Christ. And the Bible says, you also. Two very small words, but two powerful words. You also. What is the aim of discipleship? The aim of discipleship is, I want to become more like Christ. In actual fact, I want to grow into who I am already. I want to grow into who God has created me to be on the inside already. I've already been transformed. My spirit has been transformed. I've been born again into the image of Christ. But now this outward attitudes and the way that I talk and the way that I act, that now needs to be transformed into who I am on the inside. And he encourages them and he says, you will have rejection. You will have persecution. But remember, you are precious. And I want to say that to some of you, that maybe you are in this room and your life isn't what you thought it would have been 5 years ago. Or 20 years ago, you had a dream, or you gave your life to Christ at a high school camp, or you made a vow to God when your business was going through a tough time, and you promised God certain things, and God spoke to you, and now it seems like those promises are not coming to pass. Now it seems like you have been rejected by things around you, or maybe your own sin is causing you to fall short of those promises. And I want you to remember that God says that you are chosen, and you are precious. You are chosen and you are precious. You are as chosen and you are as precious to Father God as Jesus is to Father God. Isn't that an amazing thought? Peter says that Jesus was rejected by men, but he was what? Chosen and precious. Not by Mary and Joseph primarily. He was chosen and precious by Father God. Father God chose him. Father God said, Jesus, I'm going to fulfill the destiny of saving the world through you. And I chose you, and you are precious to me, my son, and I love you. And twice he opens up the heavens, and he speaks through the clouds, and he says, behold, my son, in whom I'm well pleased. I love this boy. He is mine. I'm excited about him. And Peter says, you also. You are as precious to Father God as Jesus is to Father God. Now that thought should blow your mind into a complete frazzle. Your mind should just collapse around that one truth. You are chosen and precious. Just as Jesus is chosen and precious. Now you know what? The world normally doesn't tell that to us. The world says, buy the latest phone, drive the newest car, live in the best house, and then you will show how chosen and precious you are. But that's not the way that Jesus deals with us. That's not the way that Father God deals with us. He says, I want you to know you are chosen. You are precious to me. And I felt in my heart just to deliver this message to some of you that maybe have given up on yourself. Or maybe you live in environment or in circumstances where you are being broken down and your self-image is being eroded. And I want you to hear the words of the Lord this morning to you. You are chosen and you are precious to God. You, as the individual, Pete or Sarah or Tabu or Heinrich, you are chosen and precious. Some of you need to come and just renounce some lies this morning. Reject some lies as to things that you have believed about yourself. And you are chosen, you are precious as what? As living stones. And you are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Andre spoke about this, I think, 4 weeks or so. And he spoke about these spiritual sacrifices. It's our obedience to God and us living a lifestyle different to God, different to the world. These are our spiritual sacrifices. And so God has called us. He's called us to understand that we are chosen, we are precious, not just to take up oxygen, not just to try and survive, but to offer up sacrifices to God. Sacrifices that come from our heart, sacrifices of obedience, sacrifices of living differently to the world. When William spoke about perspective, to not be conformed to this world, but to be different, to be different. You are a living stone in the house of God. As beautiful as this building is, and this is such an incredible building, the building that's much more beautiful than this is the building and the bricks made up of the people sitting next to you. This building can be burned down. The fire got very close, I see. It's amazing. I think some of you must have incredible pictures that you have taken. And some incredible pictures, snapshots of prayers that you've prayed as well. I think that might have stirred some intercession in this place. But I think that's a reminder that one day a fire will come. And that fire will destroy everything. Everything will be destroyed. And the only things that will remain are the spirits of men. And then those spirits will spend eternity with God or eternity without God. That is the only true reality. Everything else will be burned away. Everything else. Every apartment that I've bought to make provision for my children's marriage one day, or their university studies one day, everything will, what will happen to it? It will be burned away. Everything. And the only thing that will remain are the eternal spirits of men and women who will spend either eternity with God or eternity without Him. But the most beautiful thing, more than these buildings, they will never be destroyed, are the living stones. A living stone called Hendrik, a living stone called Danny Delesti, living stones. And here's my question to you. When was the last time you looked yourself in the mirror and said, "Good morning, Mr. Stone. You look beautiful today." When was the last time you came to church and greeted someone and said, "Hey, living stone, you brick, you." But I don't think we want to be bricks, eh? We want to be living stones. And here's the reality, that in church, you can either be a living stone or you can be a stumbling stone. You can either be a living stone used by God to advance His kingdom, used by God to see His will flow through you, or you can be a stumbling stone that can prevent His Spirit from flowing through you. Or you can be a stumbling stone that offends somebody else. Because this is the mystery, that God decides to cause His life to flow through human beings. And we can either be a living stone or we can be a hard stone. So what are you this morning? What am I? Am I a living stone or am I a hard stone? Am I a living stone or am I a stumbling stone? You know, when an invitation goes out for us to bring our words and to bring our prophecies and our songs to the Lord, you know what that is? That is a decision that I have to make. I have to make, will I be a living stone in this moment? Or will I be a hard stone this moment? Will I make my heart available to God and say, "Holy Spirit, if you want to move through someone, then please move through me. Because I want to be a living stone." Or do I shut off and I say, "No, I will be a hard stone. And the Holy Spirit can move through the guy behind me or the guy in front of me, but not through me." You know what that is? That is my choice. When I'm confronted with somebody's need, and as you guys, when we had the riots in Hermanus, and this church decided we are going to be what? We are going to be living stones. And we're going to allow God's mercy to flow through us so we can reach people around us. It was your decision to make. You could have decided to be hard stones, yet you decided to be living stones. And my prayer is that we will all grow into becoming even more alive for Him. And here's the gist of that verse again with that picture. You also, like living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So in essence, all it means is that we need to commit to living and to growing as a disciple. That's all that means to be a living stone. It just means that I commit myself to living and to growing. So it's a weird concept if you talk about a stone. But it talks about that stone that it's got a purpose. You're not a stone that lies around somewhere in the road. You know what happens to isolated stones, isolated bricks? A brick just lying around somewhere can be used. You know, we have to drive to the N2 very often, or to the airport, to Cape Town. And the N2 between Summers of the West and Cape Town is a dangerous place, humanly speaking. Why? Because of so many stones lying next to the road, so many bricks lying there. And those bricks very often are being used to smash windscreens and to hijack cars and to hurt people. Why is that? Is there something wrong with that brick? No, that brick is simply functioning outside of its purpose. That brick was supposed to be part of a beautiful house somewhere. That brick was supposed to provide shelter somewhere. That brick was supposed to be part of a school that provides education, or a hospital that provides medical care. But that brick now is lying somewhere else. And when you are isolated, then you are open for abuse. When you are isolated, then you are open to be misused and to be abused. But when you are part of something bigger than just yourself, you have a purpose. Beautiful purpose. And so my appeal to all of us as Shofar family is, let's continue to ask the Lord to keep our hearts soft. Because here's the thing, that if you have been around church for 5 months or 5 years or 50 years, then you know that very often you start off with your heart soft, don't you? I mean, it is easy to forgive. It is easy to ask for forgiveness. It is easy to believe God's word and to believe people when they say that we love you. But once you have been around church for a little while, you become cynical. What's the fine print when they say they love me? They love me for as long as I serve the coffee or I play in the band. What do they want from me? And it becomes a little bit more difficult to forgive because our hearts become hardened. Because the stones around us, guess what happens? The stones start irritating one another. And as a clippy, but the biggest scarper is as an Ellenboog. You know, I sometimes have these groanings when I sleep, deep calling unto deep, you know, and then there's a sound of mighty waterfalls that sort of come through my lungs when I'm sleeping. And then from time to time, I've got an elbow that goes here into the soft rib, just like car, and it disrupts the sounds that have been coming forth, and apparently it's not joyful sounds or sounds that's a blessing to my wife. But you know that happens when we live in community with one another, when we're in church with one another. I wish that every day of our lives would be amazing as a Sunday morning. When you're in God's presence and the band plays, oh, it's beautiful. The coffee smells fantastic. I mean, it's just incredible. Church is just the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know about you, but that isn't always the reality, is it? There are opinions that clash with one another. There are differences in perspective and worldview, and we misunderstand each other, and we hurt one another, and we have to decide that I am going to keep my heart soft towards this brother or the sister. Living stones. The greatest threat that the devil brings against us, and yes, he attacks our finances, and he attacks our health, and he attacks our relationships. But you know, those things are simply symptomatic. They're like smoke screens. What is the devil after? He's after your heart. He's after your heart. He attacks that relationship so he can get to your heart, so he can get your heart to become bitter, so he can get your heart to become unforgiving, so he can get your heart to become unresponsive. And in that challenge, that relational challenge, within that monetary challenge, within that challenge of your faith, you've got to decide, am I going to keep my heart soft? Or am I going to allow the misunderstanding, the frustration to harden my heart? Our nation needs living stones, soft stones. We'll give one another the benefit of the doubt as individuals, as families, as communities, as ethnic groups. We'll keep our hearts soft towards one another. And the challenge in our nation is at its fiercest more than ever before to say, harden your heart towards your brother. Harden your heart towards the person that you don't understand. We have neighbors that have just moved into into the house next door to us. And they're from somewhere up north, I think Brakpan or somewhere down there. And they've just moved in recently. And so the day before, yesterday, again, late in the evening, now a week ago when they moved in, 2 weeks ago, they decided to have a massive party. Started at 11 in the morning, went on till about 12:30 at night. All right, and so I thought, man, okay, the guys are excited to be here in Cape Town. Who wouldn't be, right? If you come from north and you're down here, it's amazing. They probably feel they almost, you know, arrived at heaven's door. So they celebrate, it's karaoke, and then it's all sorts of songs going. But now my mother-in-law comes to visit, and we told her, it is so quiet where we stay. It's an amazing neighborhood. You can come and rest. All right, and then our new neighbors blow that whole thing out of the water. Now I'm having to explain, Ma, this is altijd so nie. Mommy, this is enig heel rustig. You know, it's like, oh, man. But I thought, okay, it's just the first weekend. And so Friday evening again, right, the guys start going. And then, like, 12:30, he says, and ek wil net vir my biere sê, en ek weet nie hoeveel biere ek het nie. Ons hou van party. It's over the karaoke system, right? It's massive. It's like blasting everything away. And hierdie enetjie is vir julle. Afrikaners is plesierig. And then the thing goes off. And it's like, oh. Nikki and the girls, they were already here in their manas resting. I'm there, put my earphones on loud. And he announces that he's there. And you know the crazy thing is, a while ago I asked Jesus, Lord, please bring me into contact with the unbelievers. I'm like, what a prayer. I should have specified, just not next door, Lord. And so the Lord sends him right next to me. But you know what my challenge is now? I've got to keep my heart soft. I've got to keep my heart soft towards my neighbor. When he's pumping it louder and louder, 12:30, 1 o'clock. And so there's a conversation this week that we will have to have. But I've got to keep my heart soft towards him. So I want to reach him for Jesus. I want to make sure that he encounters Jesus. But whether it's my neighbor with his loud music, or whether it's the taxi driver, or whether it's the municipality, the challenge is always aimed at your heart. It's not so much about the irritation, the frustration. It's about your heart. Will you keep your heart soft? So I want to pray for some of you this morning, because you've allowed your heart to become hardened. And there are very good reasons and very real pain. But I want to challenge you. I want to say to you that there's a grace that God is wanting to release over you to exchange your hard heart for a living heart. Ezekiel 27 gives us the promise, and he says, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit inside of you. We had the beautiful word this morning about those cubes that we're carrying. That as that word came, that for some of us, that thing is, it's your heart. And there's some offense and some hurt against people, and you've got to bring that to God. Acknowledge it. Just say, God, I'm angry with so-and-so. I'm angry with the pastor. I'm angry with my boss. I'm angry with my wife. I'm angry, God, at the political parties. I want to bring you. There's too much that God wants to do through you. There's too much. Don't ignore the hardness in there. Don't ignore the pain. Be honest. Bring it to God. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, all these things my hand has made. It speaks about the beauty of creation, everything we see around us. All these things my hands have made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And so when we talk about the church, when we talk about us being living stones, it's not about the externals. The externals can help. The externals can be an invitation for people to come. But you know what? It is not about the external things. When God walks into a church, when God walks into a home, when He walks into a company, when He walks into a community, He is looking at what's going on in the heart. And we can get away with bluffing people and deceiving people and keeping up a pretense towards people, but not with God. It says, this is the one with whom I will dwell. This is the one to whom I will look. And when He says, I will look, it means His eye will be upon you for good. His heart will be towards you. The one who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I like that. And I believe with all of my heart that church, there is something we need to trust God to restore. And that is very often in the traditional churches where most of us come from, there was a reverence, there was a fear of God, there was respect for the word of God. And sometimes we lose that when we get into more freedom. And I believe that God is wanting us to just tremble at His word again. When His word comes and when somebody ministers a word, brings a few words, quiet your heart. Write it down. When somebody prays over you, remember those things recorded on your phone. Go back home, pray over it. Quiet your heart. But this is the one to whom I will look, the one who is humble and contrite in spirit. And you know what the crazy thing about that is? That only you know the state of your heart. I can preach about humility often and my heart can be arrogant. I can live in the poorest house and not want to have a lot of money, and yet my heart can be arrogant. I can live in a mansion and have a humble, contrite heart and live towards reaching others, and vice versa. It's not about the externals. And I think the reality is this for us as living stones. Let's continue to be humble, to be teachable, to always keep on learning. I'm so blessed by this church and by the amount of people who are 50 and beyond, still coming to church and just being in a place where you're humble and you're teachable and you always want to be learning and you want to try new things and you want to play in the drums and you want to take up the electric guitar and you just want to do new things. You defy aging. Being around Johnny and so many of you is so challenging. It challenges your perception of retirement. There's no such thing in heaven. I told my dad the other day, he's more busy now than ever. Working on this farm and now he's taking on another farm in, 70, 75. It's just continuing and continuing, and it challenges so many of us as younger people. Always be learning. Are you in a place where somebody can speak into your life? A sign of a hard heart is nobody can tell me anything. I've arrived. And I believe God is wanting to encourage us. Let's remain humble. Let's remain teachable. And let's always keep on learning. And for the next 12 minutes, I want to encourage you to put down a marker to say, as a soft heart, as a living heart, as a living stone, I want to grow in one of these areas. Maybe not all of them, but one of them. And the Lord spoke to us about this in the first place. Living stones in a house of spirit-filled praise and worship. I believe that when God says, I want you to be a living stone in this house, then this house is a house where praise and worship dwells. David in Psalm 22 verse 1 to 3 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the same cry that Jesus cried when he was hanging on the cross. Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. And here's the incredible thing. David is wrestling Amu a few weeks ago spoke about the reality of God's word and then our experience. I don't know how many of you were in that sermon. That the reality of God's word, the truth of God's word on this side, and then there's the experiences that we go through, and we need to trust God to make that gap smaller. But so many of us, we understand that whilst we are here on earth, there will always be a gap in some area or another. We're putting out our faith, and we're praying, and we're standing together to have the reality of the word and our experiences align with one another. Not move the word into our experiences, but to move our experiences into the word. Amen? Where we submit our experiences to the truth of God's word. But whilst we are here on earth, there will always be things in our lives that don't completely conform to the fullness of God's word. So we have the kingdom right now, but we also have the kingdom still to come. Do you agree with that? That we have access to everything that God has for us, but for as long as we are here on the earth, because we are human, and even somebody as amazing as Paul experienced that there's a place in his life where he needs God's grace to cover his weakness. Amen? There are certain things in your life that you just have to go through. Things that don't make sense to you. Things that you look at the word and you say, God, I would have hoped, I prayed for this thing to be different already. And David finds himself here. A man so close to God, a man after God's own heart, a man who danced before the presence of the Lord, a man of whom God said, I will give you a name forever. David comes before God and says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so he goes through an experience where his emotions are wanting to overwhelm him. He says, God, I feel isolated. I feel alone. Why are you not saving me, God? Why am I praying and there's no breakthrough? Why am I crying out to you and there's nothing going on? Why am I praying for my child? I'm praying for my business. I'm praying for the community. And the answers don't seem to come. Does anyone have a prayer like that? It's an answer that you are still waiting for. I've got a few like that. And then David says, but God, I look at all of these things. And then there's that little word at the end of that verse. And it says, yet. Oh, praise God for the yets in Scripture. Amen. Praise God for the buts in Scripture. Amen. The yet you are holy. These are my emotions. I feel rejected. I feel alone. I feel faithless. I feel broken. Maybe I feel ashamed. Yet you are holy. And how I feel doesn't change who you are. Yet you are holy. Look what he says. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. God, you are holy. I'm not. I feel messed up. I feel alone. And you know, often in church, we don't want to say those things because we have to have it all together because we've gone through Bible school and we're faithfully serving in the band and I'm a cell group leader. So I shouldn't feel alone and I shouldn't feel isolated. We are lying to ourselves if we think that is our reality. You are human, so you will go through human experiences and you will experience hurt, but our hurt does not have to define God. And he comes and he says, yet you are holy and you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. And so he understands that I can build God a throne. He says, you are enthroned, your presence comes, your kingdom comes, your life comes. Where? When God's people praise you. You are enthroned on the praises of Israel. And some of us that need to make a shift and I believe that's what the Holy Spirit was speaking to us about. And I didn't speak to the intercessors beforehand. I didn't speak to the band beforehand. But this verse is a verse for Shofar Hermanus. This is something that God is wanting to imprint upon your heart. Some of you have to make a shift from just singing along. Praise and worship is not a sing-along. Praise and worship isn't just something that we sing to feel better about ourselves, and we do feel better about ourselves when we praise and worship God. But praise and worship is an act of intense spiritual warfare. It is where we bring our emotions, we bring our circumstances, and we say, God, right in the middle of my loneliness, right in the middle of my pain, right in the middle of my shame, I'm going to build you a throne. Because I know that there where your throne is, there your rule is. And there where your rule is, there your kingdom is. And there where your kingdom is, your righteousness and your peace and your joy is. There is your life. And we say that God is enthroned and that God rules and God reigns. So we know that is true. But we also know that that rule and that reign doesn't manifest everywhere. Do you agree? Otherwise, the crime statistics in our country would have looked different. There are homes and hearts and businesses and political parties and institutions where the rule of God isn't manifesting yet. And I believe the rule of God and the reign of God waits for God's people to build Him a throne in the midst of those circumstances. And we start primarily not just by budgeting better, not just by handing out soup or building people homes or being better teachers. All of those things are important. And if you are a teacher, an NGO worker, or a doctor, then you are anointed by God to preach good news to those people. If you're an engineer, you are anointed by God to build incredible bridges and amazing buildings and to see God's kingdom come there. But without the presence of God, those things mean nothing. Without the presence of God, people's lives do not get transformed, and we can build a beautiful bridge and hand out thousands of cups of soup and build tens of thousands of homes, and people will still go to hell without God's presence. And when we praise God, we are calling His presence into our circumstances. And here's the reality, that what happens on a Sunday morning is like a gym session for the week. Amen? It builds your capacity. Like, okay, I can do two songs. I can do three songs. And then the fourth one, ish. Yo, it's a biggie risk. Okay, but I'm coming back for more next week. Then I'm on 3.5, and I'm 4, and I'm 5. And then I'm going a whole service is praising and worshiping God. Why? Because you're going to come up against the demon from hell in your workplace and in your family and in your community. And then you need to know how to praise God. When the band isn't around and the ushers aren't around and the elders aren't there, you need to know. You would have needed to exercise your spiritual muscles here already. And the beautiful thing that's the reality for us, we don't have to look for God. This beautiful picture where this girl says, I found out where God lives. He lives where? In the praises of His people. You are holy, dwelling in the praises of your people. Where's God's home? God's home is wherever God's people are praising Him. God's home is wherever God's people are praising Him. My grandmother spent the last couple of years of her life in an old age home in Makassar. I think 2.5 years ago when I was here, I might have shared the story. But a state-run old age home is not a pleasant place. Right, it's not a pleasant place. I didn't want to go there often. It just broke me to see so many old people having to pass away, spend the last days of their lives in such misery and such neglect. But there where my grandmother was, there was the presence of God in her room. Where she was, there were always of the staff with her in that room. They wanted to spend time with Tani Sani. Why? Because she was always singing, always praising God. Tel jou seëninge, tel hul een vir een. Over and over again, singing, praising God. And she, her room was like a hub for God's presence. Doesn't matter where you stay, your circumstances don't have to determine whether God's presence is there or not. Your praises do. Your circumstances don't determine whether God's presence manifests. Your praises do. And I believe that God is going to take this church next level. Some of you guys need to get up on the mountains. And you need to just continue to praise and release God's presence. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save, and He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love, and He'll rejoice over you with singing. Here's the beautiful thing, and that is as we sing to God, as we praise God, there comes a time when we begin to hear that He is actually the one singing over us. He is actually the one. Zephaniah 3 verse 7, he says, Your God is with you. He's in your midst. He's mighty to save. And when we praise God, we take our eyes off our circumstances. Because our circumstances would want to lie to us. Our circumstances would want to say to us, is God really with you? And is He really mighty to save? And does He really love you? Does He really know about your child's suffering? Does He really know about your budget not making it? Does He really know about the strain your marriage is taking? That's what your circumstances and your emotions would want to tell you. But praising God restores the focus. And as you praise Him, His kingdom invades, His peace invades, His joy invades your thinking, your circumstances. Then He starts opening up your ears so you can hear the song that He's singing over you. Praise isn't just one-way communication. Praise opens up your heart to hear what God is singing over you. We now in our church, and don't worry about it, I won't get to all 4 points. The Holy Spirit wants me to park here. In our congregation, we've been through two experiences that has been fundamental in just shaping us. Wanneer was Neelke gebore? October last year, one of our elders, the lady, she came to intercession, and as we were praying, she started feeling as if she's about to give birth, and prayed and felt that is what, spiritually, what the Lord is wanting to do and wanting to birth some things through her. Because it couldn't be physical because she was only 27, 28 weeks pregnant. But as she went home, the contractions didn't stop. And the little baby was born 27 weeks old. And it was a massive, massive challenge for us. The odds were against her. The stats were against her. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we trusted God. We walked the journey with her. And it was amazing to see how the church came around the couple. And we celebrated the other day, little Neelke with her mom, standing in front of church, saying God did a miracle. She's alive, a teeny weeny little thing that was fighting for her life. She's alive, and in 2 weeks' time, she's going to be dedicated to the Lord. 27 weeks old. She made it. God came through, answered our prayers. A beautiful, perfect, beautiful little baby girl. Not one little bit of brain damage, nothing wrong with her. God is good. God is good. And we celebrated her life a few weeks ago as Tsumin stood up and testified. And then last week, Friday, one of our other ladies went into labor as well. And her little baby girl was born, 27 weeks old. And we prayed in church, trusted God. Says, God, you've done it for Neelke. We just heard about it last week, and we're putting out our faith, God, that you're going to do it again because we know that you are awesome. You are God in our midst, and you are mighty to save. And we prayed and we put out our faith that God would do a miracle again. And then on Sunday evening, a couple phoned and said, can they come and see me tomorrow, the next morning? And I started praying through the night and says, God, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? They came to me. We went through just the whole process. So, found out that she actually wasn't 27 weeks pregnant, she was 22 weeks pregnant. And that little baby girl didn't have too much of an opportunity to live. And as we were talking, as we were chatting to one another, the couple said this to me, they said, our greatest desire is to be intimate with Jesus. Our greatest desire is to know Jesus more than anything else. And we prayed, we trusted God, God, for your will. We surrendered that baby into your hands, Father. We didn't want her to suffer. We surrendered her into your hands. 15 minutes later, the hospital phoned. Says they have to switch everything off. There's nothing they can do for her. I went with that couple, drove through the Bloberg Strand Hospital. And the doctor asked, do you want to hold as we switch off the machines? I stood there with them. It's the holder. And the machine was switched off and we released little Talita into the Father's hands. And the presence of God flooded that place when they said, Father, we trust you. Father, you are good to us. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you for this gift that you have given us. And the holiness of God was in that place. Two different miracles that take place. God is good when he heals. God is good when he doesn't. There is something amazing in store for us saints when we will allow our hearts to remain soft and not to be hardened by our pain, by our bitterness, by anything that comes against us. And there are testimonies flooding through that couple's life. The memorial service is going to be on Tuesday. So many people are coming. This little Talita, even though she was with us only for 4 days, that she is speaking loudly to us about trusting and surrendering into Father God's hands. There's mystery involved in life, believers. A mystery that we sometimes want to reduce to our recipes. And if we can't control the situation, then our praise goes out the back door. Praise is at its most powerful when we don't have the answers. Praise is at its most powerful when we respond by faith and not by sight. And sometimes our faith leads to a healing, and sometimes our faith leads to deeper surrender. In the midst of it all, God has promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And as we were in that hospital room, the presence of God came and helped that couple. And there was a peace that I thought I would not witness in my life. There was a peace there that surpasses knowledge. There was a peace there that was supernatural. And I believe the key was because they chose to praise God in the midst of their pain. Not to get offended with God because it did something for one and it didn't do it for another. There's some hearts here in this room the Lord wants to soften through His Holy Spirit because He has got praise in store for you that needs to flow through you, through your mouth and your heart, because there are circumstances that need to be changed and that need to be transformed through your life. Please stand with me as I'm going to pray for you and ask the band to join us. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. There are some of us in this room, and we are at the end of that verse, and we are praising God. And we're lifting up our hearts to Him. And that brings so much pleasure to God. It brings so much joy to His heart. It's a sacrifice of praise that excites the Father so much. But He's wanting to say to you that your pain is important to Him. Your pain is important to Him. And He wants you to invite Him into that pain in the first place to acknowledge it. Like David did. I mean, we were in that room and we were weeping. No parents go through that. And their pain was real and important to Jesus. And He met them as we prayed before we went to the hospital. As the Holy Spirit came and just flooded our living room and just poured Himself out over that couple. I believe He could meet them because they brought their pain to Him. Because they brought their pain to Him, He could usher them into the Spirit. Some of us here, you carry stuff. The devil has lied to you and said you must keep it to yourself. That God even isn't interested in it. Doesn't want to know about it. You should have been over this by now. But you carry stuff. And I don't know what it is, but you know. And the Holy Spirit knows. And this morning is your morning. Start where David did. Says, God, here's my question. Here's my question. Doesn't mean that God will answer that question necessarily, but it does mean that you can be honest. Let's close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit of truth. I thank you for the vulnerability and the transparency in this room. Father, we know that you desire those who will worship you in spirit and in truth, and there's so much happening in the Spirit, such a powerful legacy, Lord. But I think that I know in my heart that there are hearts and lives and minds here that you want to just invite into a place of healing this morning. A place of real healing. If that is you and you have a pain, a question, something in your humanity, it's just difficult to bear. It doesn't have to be sin, can be. It is just difficult to bear. And you just need the healing love of Jesus to just flood that part of your heart, of your relationship. Just come to the front very quickly. Just from where you are standing, just come. Just simply an acknowledgement. Not to me. You're just coming to the Holy Spirit, to Father God, that says to you, I see it. You don't have to pretend in my presence. You don't have to pretend that everything is okay. I see it. Acknowledging it is the first step. It's the first step. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Thank you for the appointments that you have. I don't want you to miss this appointment, saints. It's more of you. It pops up when you're asleep, in your middle up, at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. It pops up when somebody cuts you off on the road. It pops up when you have a disagreement with your wife. There are people here that have been hurt in church. In your walk with Christ, the hurt is so intense because it's around the area of your faith. It's in the area of your faith. You find it difficult to approach God with an expectation because your expectations have been dashed so often. This morning, God wants to come and heal your heart. Surrender the cube of dashed expectations to Him. Thank you, God. There are transactions that are going to take place in this room right now. So there are some of us also here, and we're stuck in the first part of this verse. Our pain is just overwhelming. And the invitation came to us this morning through the prophetic words. I want to anoint your lips. I went through something very weird the other day. I yawned and I got a cramp in my jaw. Has that happened to anybody? Just here? It's like, oh my goodness, what is that? It's difficult for you to sing if your jaw is cramping. Some of you are suffering from spiritual cramp. The Lord just wants to come and touch you. He'll release your voice. There are voices and sounds in this room that needs to flood Hermanus, flood Hansby, floods this environment, flood the streets. And God is wanting to come and touch your jaw so you can open your mouth and you can praise Him. Some of you heard the call this morning to enter into a new dimension of praise. Just come to the front if that is you. You know God has called you to step into a new dimension where your physical strength even cannot take you. At the beginning, when the Lord called us to lead this movement, I was like, Lord, my physical strength can't get me there. There's much, Lord, that I don't understand. And it was in that moment when I just started praising God, praising Him. He will finish the job. He will finish the job. There are songs in this place. There are songs in this place. We pray, Father, that you would stir those songs now. For there are songs in this place. Just come. Step into your portion. It's living stones. We'll build God a throne. There are songs in this place. Lord. There are songs in this place. Songs, shofar emanus, ministering angels, angels of justice, angels of protection. So you would release your songs. There are songs in this place. Praise him in your pain. Speak to Jesus, you hear at the front. Speak to him. Say, Lord, I bring you my pain. I bring you my questions, Lord. I bring you my dead baby, Lord. I bring you the dead baby of my dreams. I bring you the dead baby, Lord God, of my faith. I bring you the dead baby, Lord, of my expectations. And I don't understand why you allowed it to happen, oh God. I don't understand whether it was my faith who failed or the devil or you. But God, all I know is that you are holy. And I will build you a throne right here and right now. For there are songs in this place. Oh, there are songs. Shofar and manas, there are songs. I just sense the Lord is saying that there are songs that shofar family needs. And the Lord is going to release them from this place. We sing over other churches. We sing after other parts of the body of Christ that are hemorrhaging and bleeding. And you're going to sing. And as you sing, you're going to hear the song that God is singing over them. And God is going to send you to towns where churches are busy dying and churches are busy running empty. And the devil has established a stronghold. And you're going to go into those towns and you're going to sing. You're gonna go into those towns and you're gonna sing a song of freedom, song of new life. It's an anointing upon this place to reach the Platteland. It's an anointing upon this place to reach little forgotten towns. And you're gonna sing over those towns. And you're gonna praise walk through those towns. And you're gonna see the kingdom of God come in forgotten places. Places that people have written off and places that people have forgotten. Oh, because there are songs, songs in this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I want the ushers just to hand out the communion. Just as we're standing, we can take a couple more minutes. The ushers can just help us. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. To altar. Shame in the name of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus Christ comes to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to sing the song even over your own heart. Sometimes we need to sing over our own hearts. We need to call our hearts into that safe space. We need to call our hearts to sing over your own heart. Come on, church. Up again. If you would just bow, kneel before the Lord if you have the communion elements, just as a sign of surrender. As we kneel before you, we kneel with our pain, our questions, we kneel with our anger and our shame, we kneel with our doubts, and we thank you that the blood of Jesus is more than enough for all of those things. We thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us, that your body was rejected so that we can be made whole and be accepted. We kneel before you this morning and surrender to you, God. We kneel before the throne, it's living stones, and I pray, Lord, that you would remove any hardness of heart right now. Only you can do it, Jesus. We can't. I can't take somebody's burden. I can't even fix my own heart, oh God. I can just surrender to you. I pray right now, Lord, come and do a miracle. Fill us with your Spirit anew. Remove any hardness, any disillusionment, any cynicism, oh God. So
We thank you for the perfect sacrifice. Thank you for your body, Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. If you have any sin, bitterness, you need to just repent of, just ask the Lord for forgiveness. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the transaction. When we prayed with the parents, the Lord told us that there's a transaction that's been initiated in heaven. As we surrender our pain and our questions, we receive his life in abundance. If those parents, I was so challenged, if those parents could surrender Talita into the Lord's hands, and he gave them a promise and he told them that she will live forever. If they could do that, then we can all do it through his grace. Let's eat together in surrender to him. Thank you for your healing, God. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus, the sweet, precious blood of the Lamb. The better word that your blood speaks, Lord, that we are all chosen and precious, called by your blood, redeemed by your blood, washed clean by your blood. We receive the fullness of your sacrifice for us. And Lord, if we as stones have poked somebody else, have dropped the weight of our anger on somebody else's toe, have pushed somebody off the wall, then we pray that you will help us to make it right. May your blood continue to bind us together. Let's drink together. I know that we have been long. Some of you need to get your kids. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. If you can linger in the presence of God, please do that. But as you go, commit yourself to go as a living stone into this week. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in you. Guys, we've come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Let me just pray a prayer of blessing over us. Let's stand. And just put your hands on the shoulder of the person standing next to you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for the beautiful, beautiful part of the body of Christ that this church is. We thank you, Lord, for salvations in this place, healings, deliverances, marriages restored, new hope that's coming. We thank you, Lord, for the great things that are in store. But above all, we thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you that you are real. You have poured out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that in this week that love would overflow. And wherever we go, Lord, that praises of God would be on our lips. That you would be enthroned on our praises. We love you. We thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you especially don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, we'd love to pray with you. If you have any questions concerning this loving God, we'd love to pray with you and minister to you. Anything else we can pray for, please come to the front. Otherwise, just connect with somebody over a cup of coffee. Love them, hug them. Thank you for your patience and listening this morning. It's good to be with you.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.